More children in Wisconsin are getting tested to detect lead poisoning, but screenings are still below pre-pandemic levels. It's Friday, April 21st. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, Evan Casey reports on new felony charges against the former chairman of the Wisconsin Parole Commission. And we've got an answer to an audience question about how the polka became a Wisconsin tradition. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
More children are getting tested to detect lead poisoning in Wisconsin. But as Daniel Kading reports, screenings are still below pre-pandemic levels.
In 2020, around 65,000 kids under the age of 6 got tested. That was down about 22% from 2019. Last year, state health officials say around 69,000 kids were screened. Health officials say the decline is partly because kids aren't being seen by providers. Shaquita McElroy with the Coalition on Lead Emergency in Milwaukee says it's a huge problem.
Families don't know that their pediatrician or their family doctor is supposed to be testing their children.
Milwaukee health officials are working with the coalition and others on community screening to increase testing. Around 2,000 kids tested in the city last year had high lead levels. That's more than half of the nearly 3,700 kids that had lead poisoning statewide. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Young people could have their access to social media limited under a proposal being considered at the Wisconsin State Capitol. The proposal from Wisconsin State Representative David Steffen, a Republican from Green Bay, could include a curfew on social media use for people under the age of 18. It could also give parents full control over their kids' social media accounts. Steffen says he's responding to concerns that social media can lead to anxiety, depression, and harmful interactions like bullying. Heather Kerkorian studies the effects of media on children at UW-Madison. She said that research indicates that social media use is not inherently dangerous.
So if we look at an average effect, it might be very small, if at all. But if we look at individual kids, some kids might benefit a lot from social media, some might be harmed by social media, and most of them are not affected much, if any.
The state of Utah recently passed a law limiting young people's social media usage. At least five other states are considering similar laws. The former chairman of the Wisconsin Parole Commission is facing felony charges for allegedly using his public position as a Racine alderman for private interests. Evan Casey has a report on the charges.
John Tate II was charged this week with using his role as Common Council President to negotiate for a job he voted to create last year. That job is the city's Violence Interruption Coordinator. Tate accepted the position in October after negotiating for a higher salary. He would be paid using federal pandemic relief funds, which Tate also voted to approve. He faces up to 3.5 years in prison and fines of up to $10,000. He'll have his initial appearance in court on May 11th. In a statement, Tate's attorney said he believes his actions do not, quote, constitute a violation of the law. Governor Tony Evers asked Tate to resign from the Parole Commission last June after they paroled a man who was convicted of murdering his wife in 1997. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A financial literacy course could become a requirement for Wisconsin high school students. At a hearing yesterday, the state assembly heard from students and teachers supporting the idea requiring a half credit of financial literacy by 2028, but the measure would cost school districts already facing financial challenges. Dan Rossmiller heads government relations with the Wisconsin Association of School Boards. He says he understands the value of financial literacy courses, but he's concerned about adding a mandate to struggling districts.
I suspect that they tend to be some of our smaller, more rural districts. And we know that there are teacher supply challenges for all districts, but particularly for many of our smaller and rural districts.
Governor Tony Evers has included $5 million in his biennial budget for financial literacy, Republicans in the legislature have signaled they will rewrite the budget proposal. Wisconsin has a seller's market for homes with far more demand than supply. As Joe Schultz reports, that trend is expected to continue.
A new report from the Wisconsin Realtors Association says buying a home has become less affordable over the last year. Prices and interest rates have increased, listings have decreased, and median family incomes have remained relatively flat. David Clark is an economist at Marquette University. He says that's been especially challenging for millennial home buyers.
The first-time buyer market is really being challenged by the higher mortgage rates. Certainly, prices have been going up as well. Affordability has been going down.
He says supply will continue to lag behind demand for years to come. That's expected to keep prices high. High interest rates will also continue to make purchasing a home less affordable, and those rates aren't expected to come down until inflation is under control. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about a great state tradition, the polka. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first-ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Brad Kohlberg with the answer to a Wisconsin question about the polka.
We recently received a couple questions from listeners about Wisconsin's love affair with polka, like this one.
My name is Josie Dunn. I'm 10 years old, and I'm from Mineral Point, Wisconsin.
She asked,
how did the polka become a dance and a tradition?
And when I think about polka in Wisconsin, I think of one guy. Second generation Wisconsin and International Polka Association Hall of Famer, accordion wizard, and band leader, Steve Meisner.
Hi, this is Steve Meisner, and I am a full-time musician living in Whitewater, Wisconsin, the land I love.
And here's Steve's quick answer.
Well, it started in Bohemia, and then the dance is invented, okay? And so that was spread throughout Europe as a dance, and it was, in its day, like rock and roll.
But Josie says she'd like to know a little bit more.
Because I know the polka is important to Wisconsin because it is the state dance, and I want to know a little more about it.
Steve?
It's woven into the fabric of our lives in this state. It's really in Wisconsin because of the rich European heritages that are in Wisconsin.
Okay, like?
It spread from Bohemia, Poland, Czech Republic, Germany, Switzerland,
the Alps region.
The Dutchman style.
The Polish style is completely different.
Whereas like the Slovenian style, or what I call the American Slovenian style that I do, is more melodic and has more of a swing feel.
Ah, okay, so, but what about the dance?
The Polish hop is the most prevalent in Wisconsin, which is part of the original that's from the old country. But like if you go to see Dutchman and Czech bands, you'll see more of the older folks doing like the two-step foxtrot, you know, sort of stepping with the polka versus the raucous, you know, Polish hop style, which you'll get more with the Slovenian style and the Polish style.
But what's the learning curve on the whole dancing part?
Just let me just say that, you know, a lot of the people that want to learn that weren't raised with it, learn, you know. But for the average person, they just get out there and they just jump around. The greatest thing about polka music is it's forgiving. You know, like even my grandkids, I mean, they just love to get out. As soon as they hear the music, they just start get a little bouncing going, you know, and they just want to get out there and do it.
So just how important do you think polka is to folks in Wisconsin?
It's very, very important to them. We have regular places that we play it all the time that are you know, in certain areas like the Hiawatha Bar over in Sturtevant, and it's a part of their lives every month. If they miss a dance, they feel bad, you know? I've had generations of college students come out to Madison and say, we came back for a reunion. Do you remember us from 10 years ago, you know? And we danced here all the time. We were here every time you played here. And I'm like, yeah, sure, I remember you guys.
So how does it feel being a Polka Hall of Famer from Wisconsin?
Yeah, it really is an honor because I'm hanging right there with my dad, of course, and Frankie Yankovic. And, you know, I mean, it's been a part of my life, my whole life, you know? So, I mean, truly, it's an honor.
And a little opening do for you right here in Pulaski, Wisconsin with Steve and the boys. Thank you very much.
This story came from audience questions as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Brad Colbert.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a rating and review. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday.